and welcome, my beautiful butterflies, to Easy Menstrual Flow. My name is Kathy Ann, and I am an occupational therapist and an integrative nutrition health coach. And this podcast, episode number 2, we are going to be talking to Simone, and Simone is going to be connecting with us for the next 3 podcasts, where we're going to be talking about her experience with having the easy menstrual flow and the things that she's been through to make sure that that continues to happen. So today, our focus is going to be talking about how she experienced her easy menstrual flow after having a myomectomy to reset her body. And I'm not going to go in right now to the details of what a myomectomy is. I'll let her do that. So I want you to help me welcome Simone Turner, our guest for today. Hi, Simone.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am so happy to be here and just elated that about the work that you're doing. It's just, it's needed. It's so needed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to sharing my experience. You know, I've worked with you on a personal level after I had surgery to have fibroids removed. So just basically touching on what you said about a myomectomy, that is basically what a myomectomy is. It's the removal of fibroids from the tissue wall of the uterus. So my fibroids were lodged into the wall of my uterus, which is kind of like where some of the smooth muscles are, that and where it helps to promote the shedding of the lining of the uterus, which is known as our period, menstrual cycle. So I had to have the fibroids, which fibroids are kind of like tumor-like, they're benign tumor-like things that got lodged into my uterus wall. So a myomectomy still allows you in most cases to be able to have children. So that was the route that I went. I did not want to do a full hysterectomy because at the time that I had my surgery, I was still young and I still wanted the option of whether, you know, I could have kids or not. Now, do I want kids? That's a whole nother story. I don't know.
Just share mine.
Right, exactly. But I do want to have the ability to have the option. So a myomectomy provided me with that opportunity of still being able to have that option because it doesn't remove the uterus like a hysterectomy does.
Okay. And could you share with us and basically how your menstrual flow was prior to you making the decision to have the myomectomy, and then give us a little bit of how your cycle, your flow was after the myomectomy?
Oh, yeah. Total difference from the before and after. So just a little backstory about me, you know, I want to share this part because I feel like it's important that people understand that I wasn't someone who grew up with illness and sickness. And I say all of that to say that sometimes it's not just about your health and what you're eating. It's also about your emotional, where you are emotionally, where you are spiritually, and where you are mentally. All of these things factor in. Because it wasn't a health thing for me, because I grew up, I was the child with the parent in junior high school who was drinking green juice before green juice was ever popular. Like, it's all the rage now, but back in the days, I was the weirdo, right? Yeah. So, and I mean to say, I wasn't a vegan or a vegetarian or anything, but I did, my mother did feed me healthy foods. I rarely ate out. I didn't eat a lot of, a whole lot of meat. I didn't grow up eating a bunch of fast food. I didn't grow up eating a bunch of processed sugars or too much store-bought sugars. Like pretty much most of the baked goods that I had were made from scratch at home. So I'm again sharing all that to give people a kind of picture that I was pretty healthy growing up. And then what happened that I believe happened is that I got older and I got outside my mom's home and I started doing things that were unhealthy, but I also was in a place where I wasn't happy with my job. And so a lot of that contributes to the internal manifestations of a lot of things that we deal with. And so answering your question, coming up to answering your question about what was my menstrual cycle like before the surgery, I never really had a painful cycle up until I actually started dealing with fibroids. But while I was dealing with the fibroids, it was very painful. And it got to the point where I had to go to the hospital and was admitted into the emergency room at that point when I was dealing with the fibroids. And basically, if anyone knows about blood count, the doctor looked at me when I got to the emergency room and he was like, "Miss Turner, I don't even understand how you're still coherent, how you're even still alive, rather, because right now your blood count is 2. And so that was pretty low, and I didn't know what that meant. And he explained to me, I believe he said a normal or average blood count is around 12. So I was way off. So I was experiencing a lot of pain, a lot of heavy bleeding. I would go through menstrual pads like, it was insane. I would, you know, when that time of the month came around, I basically had to use vacation days or call out sick and take off work for the sheer thought of the embarrassment of possibly having an accident, because I was just going through pads so quickly because of the heavy bleeding. So all of this was prior to my surgery, and I had tried a few things. I wanted to go the natural route, and sometimes I believe the natural route really does help depending on where your body is and on the spectrum, right? Unfortunately, my body was to the degree where it was in such critical crisis that I believe having the surgery helped me to reset my body so that I can continue on with the natural remedies and the herbs and all the things that, you know, we're going to talk more about in this podcast. But I had the surgery after trying a numerous amount of things. And then finally, when I landed in the hospital and the doctor was like, "Hey, we have to do this surgery because, you know, it's just, you just need to go ahead and do this before it costs you your life." And at that point, I was like, "Okay, you don't have to convince me anymore. Let's go ahead and get that scheduled." So had the surgery, and after my surgery, my menstrual cycle was normal. There was no pain, no heavy clotting, no heavy bleeding. It was normal. And it was like, I felt like I had my life back, you know, because prior to the surgery, it took so much out of me every month when I would get my menstrual cycle. It was just like mentally and emotionally draining. I mean, I know we don't have a lot of time, so I don't want to take up too much time, but yeah, it was draining. And so after my surgery, it was just like a breath of fresh air. You know, my cycle would only be for 3 days and it was normal, wasn't anything heavy. I was able to go out and about and socialize. I had a social life again because I wasn't worried about, oh my God, am I going to bleed through pants or pads or all of those things? So yeah, that's what it was like.
So for you ladies who are listening, you know, and paying attention to what Simone is saying, she's talking about a normal period. a normal monthly flow, because a lot of us out here, and I know I was one who experienced, I didn't have fibroids, but I experienced the painful periods, the heavy periods, the diarrhea and the back pains and the things that would lay me flat for the first 2 days. Like she said, she took time off from work. You know, she took vacation time just so she can be home and not be out and be embarrassed by having, you know, mess on her clothes or anything like that. And I've experienced similar things that I've already met, you know, for you who've listened to the first podcast, you know, you heard me mention my details of what I went through. So for you who are listening to this and haven't listened to the first one, you can go back and get more details about my situation. But I just want to make the point to you listening that what we have heard over the years and what we've come to be told by the elders and the other women in our family and our girlfriends and other women that we might have interacted with, where we believe that having a painful period is okay. You know, it might, that might be something that has become common, but that's not what's normal. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't have to go through that. So yeah. I just wanted to make that point and let women just sit with that for a little bit and understand that it's not normal.
And I feel
that can help.
Yeah. And I feel like diet and what we put in our bodies does have a lot to do with that, because like I said, with me growing up the way that my mom fed me, with mostly healthy foods, fresh vegetables, I didn't eat much out of cans, you know, everything was fresh mostly. Mm-hmm. And I believe that played a large role in me growing up having a normal cycle. Mm-hmm. And so through my, you know, teenage years, from the day that I started menstruating, I had never had to deal with painful periods. I didn't know what that was like. Mm-hmm. And so I do know that there are some people from the first day they start menstruating, they're dealing with like pain. And I couldn't understand all of that. I couldn't understand what PMS was. I mean, I knew that I had like cravings, or maybe my body would feel a little more tired than it usually did. Mm-hmm. But as far as like PMS, like really a lot of pain, heavy bleeding, you know, the difference in your whole attitude and demeanor, I didn't know what that was like until I started experiencing my ordeal with fibroids. And so I say that to say, you know, what you had talked about as far as it's common but it's not normal, you're absolutely right. And I would encourage every woman to really look at what are the things that you're putting into your body that may be causing you to experience pain, to experience heavy bleeding, to also experience, you know, heavy cramping, those type of things, because they're not normal. Even though the majority of women deal with them, but you know, we're not taught wholly about our bodies. I'm glad that we're talking about these things now, because we have been taught about our bodies from a perspective that never really served us. We have been taught to think about our bodies as an inconvenience and our menstrual cycle as an inconvenience. And so that also, along with your diet, plays a role in the experience that you have during your cycle. If you see your menstrual cycle as an enemy, if you see your menstrual cycle as an inconvenience, what are you saying to your body? Mm-hmm. And the things, the thoughts that we have and how we feel, those things can physically manifest themselves into the, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess, into the experiences that we have when we're dealing with that monthly occurrence.
It's almost like a fulfilling prophecy, where if you think about it long enough and you pay attention to it, you know, what you put your attention to will grow and become its own entity.
Exactly. So it wasn't, for me, it wasn't just about the surgery and making sure that I'm getting good food in, but it was also about looking at what is my actual relationship to my menstrual cycle? How do you, and this is a question that your listeners can start to unfold for themselves. Mm-hmm. Just ask yourself, what is my relationship to my menstrual cycle? How do I feel about my menstrual cycle? What are some of the things that I know about my menstrual cycle that is shaping my relationship to it? And then just start to, you know, make changes from there. That's what I would encourage people to do, because once you start to question those things, you'll find information that comes into your realm and within your circle that you never know you needed, but you need. Right. You understand? Like, yeah. You didn't know that you wanted it, but you need this. And these are not things that are taught to us in a biology class, or, you know, a lot of times we haven't been taught in depth about these things by our parents. And so, yeah, I just encourage people who are listening, if you're still getting a cycle, ask yourself, what is my relationship to my cycle and how is that affecting my experience every month that I menstruate?
Yeah, that's a good place to start. And it's interesting that you share that, because when I coach ladies one-on-one, that's the first place they start with me, because I have a framework, I have a blueprint that we use, and then we customize based on the individual client. And the first thing that I have them do is what I call the F of my framework, which is fostering that relationship between their birth story and their menstruation story or their adolescent story, to get them to start tapping into what was even happening while they were in the womb with their mom.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, and just making that connection and just seeing how it shows up in them now that they're physically here and experiencing life. So, yeah, I'm glad that you shared that, because that's very key and very important for us to tap into and understand as we move forward and go through this life that we have. And which is what I did. Go ahead.
You absolutely helped me to see that and dive deeper into that inquiry when I worked with you. Mm-hmm. So I worked with you after my surgery.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the purpose of that is because I was told that there was a chance that I would end up on the surgery table again because fibroids could come back. And my spirit was like, no, baby. That's not happening yet. Like, we are going to make sure that we are doing everything and being very proactive in that not happening. And if it does happen, you know exactly what to do early on before mm-hmm. the body gets into the crisis that it was in before, right? So that was why I sought you out and started working with you, is for preventative measures. And when I started working with you, even though I had a pretty good background about a lot of these things, because I'm also a trained holistic health coach. So there were things that I knew, but even for myself, there were a lot of things that you taught me that I didn't know. And one of those things was diving into my relationship as far as how I see my menstrual cycle and how I think about my body and how I think about myself as a woman. You helped me to kind of develop that story to bring it all together. So then when we actually did the practical work on things that I can do to make sure that I kept my menstrual cycle healthy, it all made sense and it all came together. And I feel like this is the work that needs to be done. There is no quick fix to these things. We can't look for a quick fix if we actually want to really heal our bodies. Mm-hmm. We have to be willing to dive deep and go into areas that it's fearful to go into. You don't know what's going to surface, but I would say be open and be willing to address those things and with your help, I was able to do that. I didn't feel like I had to do it alone. Mm-hmm. So that was what I loved about working with you, is because although I knew a lot, there was still a lot that I didn't know.
Right.
And there was still a lot that helped me on maintaining and making sure that I stay in that place of healing and that place of being healthy and feeling good about myself and feeling good about connecting with my menstrual cycle. And it's not something to feel shame over, and it's not something to hide. All of that within your process, you helped me with.
Well, I'm glad I was able to help. And you were a willing client. You were someone who came seeking, someone who came wanting the information and the resources that I had in order to help you to take your, I would say, healing process to the next level or to another level from where you were. So just sharing that. And then even with the work that you do as an embodiment coach, you know, you've helped me also. You know, I've come to you in the client way in order for you to help me. And for those of you who've been listening, like I mentioned, this is part one of a 3-part series I will be doing with Simone. And, you know, that's just a sneak peek into what you will be getting to experience. You'll get to experience her take me through one of her embodiment coaching sessions as we go on. So,
yeah. Well, you know, that saying, healers need healing too.
Yes,
we all need healers. So just because you're doing this work doesn't mean you don't need this work too. Yes. Because sometimes we can be doing the work for others and help others to be able to get the results they want, but sometimes we are too close to the situation with ourselves to try and do it ourselves. And not that you can't trust yourself, I'm not trying to say don't trust yourself, but what I'm saying is sometimes you need support outside of just your own knowledge and your own being. Sometimes you need the support of others to be able to bring out what you can't see. Right. And that's what you were for me, and that's what I've been for you, hopefully.
Yes, you have. You definitely have.
Right. And so having that support system is imperative for the healing journey. Because this is not something that you can do alone, off by yourself, in a vacuum. It right. really takes a community of support and having your support team in place. And like you said, being open and willing to do things and try things for them to be able to actually work. You know, coming into it, if you have a negative mindset and you don't think anything will work, well, it won't work.
Exactly.
You know, it's like that saying, and I don't know, I'm paraphrasing here. I don't know if I got it correctly, but God always gives you exactly what you ask for.
Mm-hmm. Be careful so what meaning, you ask for. You just might
Exactly. So if you're coming into a situation with negative mindset of saying, this is not going to work, or, you know, this is not that, you're going to get exactly what you're saying, what you're asking for. But if you come into the situation saying, you know what, I may have tried this before, but I'm going to be open to doing this. I'm going to be open to trying this again, because this time this could be the thing that works for me right now. Mm-hmm. And so just having that open mindset is really, really, really important. And this is how I actually, this whole process is how I actually got into the embodiment work, because I realized that if you're just teaching people about the practical and mechanics about their body, but they're still disconnected, I found that a lot of women were still disconnected from their bodies. And so the embodiment process is about bringing you back to that home of your body. So many of us are just not comfortable in our bodies. And there's a lot of factors to that. You know, one of them, of course, is society. Society teaches us that we shouldn't trust ourselves, that we shouldn't be comfortable with our bodies, that, I mean, every other commercial you look at is something about a woman's body and something's wrong and they're trying to fix it. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to reverse that. I'm saying along your healing journey, be comfortable in your body as it is right now. It's the only body that we have. It's the body that helps us to navigate life every single day. And we have to be really gracious for that body. And so how do you start to connect on a level where it's kind of like you have that divine channel between your body and your spirit? That's kind of what the work of embodiment is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Whew, I'm excited for my session next week.
Same here. I'm going to be so excited when we do your session because I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing what comes out of that for you.
Right.
I'm never the person who does the healing. Mm-hmm. I'm just the catalyst that has been fortunate enough to do this work, to provide space for women to come into their own version of healing. Mm-hmm. So embodiment is going to look different for each and every person that I work with, because it's about what comes up for you and what you decide you want to make of, you know, the work that we do together. Mm-hmm. As me using me as the guide, it's not, you know, me telling you do this, do that, do that. It's about me just expanding your capacity and expanding your space to be able to see things a little differently that you may not have thought of, or, you know, couldn't exactly envision before.
Right. Because for me, I tend to, in the past, I've gotten better, want to, you know, wait until something comes to a complete end before I move to the next thing, mm-hmm. instead of looking at all the signs and all the other things that's going on that helps me see, okay, I need to bring this to an end so I can move to this next thing. So our session that we did in the past, the last one we did, helped me to pivot and move mm-hmm. where I was within my job, within the career path that I was on at the time, to shift to now within a year moving from North Carolina to Texas. Now on the 9th, we would have been here in Texas for a year. So that session we had was pivotal in helping me make that decision and being firm and secure in that choice and taking the steps, even though things didn't look like how I, you know, perfectly lined up and in a row. But there were the dots were connected in a wavy, winding way for us to be where we are right now and being very comfortable and happy, and for me to continue to do this work to help women. So I thank you for that. Right. Mm-hmm.
And your listeners, you know, your listeners may be thinking to themselves, what in the world does this have to do with menstrual cycle? But I'm telling you, it all connects. Once you are doing the work on both levels, the work that Kathy Ann is doing, the work that I'm doing, and the work that other women out there are also doing, because there's so many fabulous coaches and embodiment trainers out there who are doing this work. Once you start to realize the connection, you're like, oh, huh. You mean to tell me I've been missing out on this my entire life since I've started my menstrual cycle? Like, for instance, the whole planning your schedule around your cyclical days.
Yeah.
There are cyclical days when your hormones are working towards certain things more than others on certain days. And so you can be able to take advantage of that. But because we have been taught in a patriarchal society that we should work like men.
And keep going.
Right. This is how a lot of us have ended up in these situations with painful menstrual cycles, is because we're not working in our natural cycles as women. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you and I also teach that as well, how to work within the natural rhythms of your femininity. Mm-hmm. And there may be some people listening. I know that we are also bringing up and discussing inclusivity. So when I say femininity, it's however you relate to that, in a matter of, you know, everyone has a feminine and a masculine. You've heard yin and yang.
Yes.
You know, all of these different aspects of feminine and masculine. So, you know, I would encourage people to think from that thought. If you don't necessarily think of yourself as the pronouns of she, her, just think of energy-wise what that feels like for you. And if you're looking to have more ease and more flow in your life, you know, you want to look to soften a little more, that's feminine energy. And that matches with the moon. Our cycles are matching with the moon. So what you're really talking about is the moon and the sun, right? Mm-hmm. It gets really kind of deep, but yeah. I won't go into a whole bunch of it. But I encourage anyone who would like to learn more to get in touch with you, or you know, you can get in touch with me. I'm happy mm-hmm. to discuss, you know, these kind of things with people, because I want to see women thrive. Mm-hmm. I want to see them really feel excellent about their bodies. I want them to have the best relationship with their menstrual cycle. And I don't want them to feel shame around these things. I don't want them to feel shame around their cycles, because it affects us internally. You know, when I was dealing with the fibroids and I felt so much shame around not going out because of the heavy bleeding, it really stunted my social life. And I'm a person where, you know, I love to be around people, not all the time. I love my solitude too, but I'm a pretty sociable person when I'm out and about, and I don't like to be cooped up all the time. And so it was really difficult for me to have to deal with being home the majority of the time when that was happening. And I know that it, like, I wasn't clinically depressed, but I felt depressed.
Right.
I felt like, gosh, is this a curse? Like, why are we cursed with this? But I've shifted that mindset to really understand our menstrual cycle is not a curse.
No, it's not. It's not. And it's interesting because my husband is going to be one of the people that I'm going to be interviewing in the future. Look forward to that. He's going to give the male perspective as to, you know, interacting with a woman who has difficulties with her menstrual cycle, and how the men look at that. Like, for example, a woman who's bleeding longer than the normal, you know, and they can't get intimate. Like, how does that affect, you know, a marriage and this and intimate situation? So we'll be diving into that in the future. Yes. In the future. That's coming. So we were having that conversation earlier today, and he mentioned some things. I'm like, okay, we'll talk about it. We'll share it. We'll give the listeners the male perspective so that they can kind of get a little bit into the minds of the men they're in relationships with.
And I think that's really important. I just want to kind of touch on quickly. I know we are coming up on our time shortly, but just a little quick interjection about that. It is very important to include the men in your lives in this process. You know, men should be educated about the women that they are in relationships with, because it's very important that a woman feels supported by the man that she's being intimate with. And when you have a man who they don't understand what's happening, and they don't want to understand, because society teaches us that men don't have to deal with that and it's a woman's problem, right? Which it really isn't, because it affects them as well as it affects us. It may affect us physically, but it affects them on other levels, which he's going to talk about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just want to say, I can't wait to hear that episode, because we don't often hear the man's perspective around his experience of being with a woman, his wife, his partner, girlfriend, you know, whatever have you, being with a partner that is going through these things and what that's like for the man. And we always think, oh, it's just something that the women deal with. but we don't take into consideration how much this affects the male counterpart as well. Mm-hmm. So again, it goes back to that whole village thing that I talked about, and having a whole entire supportive community in place, not just a community full with women, but everyone coming together, because you just can't have women healing and not include the men. That's not full healing.
Right.
So.
You're right. Well, thank you for sharing that. And this has been really good, really informative, really helpful for women out there who are, you know, looking for a place to come to where they're supported and they can get the information to help them have that easy menstrual flow, which is my ultimate goal, because I strongly believe that it's our birthright to have a normal period. So,
and you know, one more thing before we kind of end, let me just say, this has been my experience, and I want to encourage, I kind of feel like this is something that just came up in my spirit. If there's a woman out there who is listening to this and considering doing this work, I am going to absolutely encourage you not to let money get in the way of you healing your womb. And what I mean by that is, nothing I did at any time did I absolutely have the money sitting in my bank account to be able to work with certain people. But I also knew the alternative of ending up back on the surgery table. And to me, it was more costly for me to go back down that route than to get creative and learn how I can make an investment in myself to do this work, to be able to help me continue forward with my healing. Because what I find is that so many women want the help, but they let money get in the way of them not getting that help. And if you're letting money stop you from your healing journey, it's just sad. You know, we can come up with money from out of nowhere for the things that are most important to us in the blink of an eye. Like, you can be somewhere and not have $100 in your bank account, and you see something that you just wanted so badly that you're like, I'm going to find a way to get it. Maybe I can't get it today, but I'm going to keep my eye on the prize and find a way to come up with $100. And you know what? We do it all the time. So what I'm encouraging women out there to do is that if you know you want to do this work, make the investment in yourself. You know, start to put away a little bit. Make a fund for yourself, a health fund. Don't always depend on your insurance, because that has limitations and you don't want to put limits on your health, you know? So if you're out there and you're looking to do this work, I'm just going to say, make the investment in yourself. It's definitely going to be worth it. And I'm not saying this for you to, this is not a sales pitch. This is really coming from my heart. I have seen so many people who bypass getting the help that they need because they say, I don't have the money. What do we really have the money for when we think about it? And if you start to look at where you put in your money, that may not be as important as you investing in your health. Maybe you can redirect those funds to getting the support, that you need, so that you don't have to feel depressed or shameful or in pain or doubtful about your menstrual cycle in your body. The reward for investing yourself is going to be so much beyond the actual monetary investment that you're going to make. So do it.
I guess that was a word right there.
Because I hate, you know, I just had to say that because I hate to see women put off their healing for something as simple as, I don't have the money. Mm-hmm. When I know that we have the capability of getting the money.
Yes,
and most of the times, like people with me, when I see people are willing to go the mile to invest in themselves, I work with them. You know, maybe the person that you want to work with can customize a payment plan for you if you really want to do it, but they have to see that you are really serious about your health. And unfortunately, free, always relying on free, is not going to get you far. It's going to get you to a certain point and then you're going to get stuck. Because let's be honest, we're not really conditioned to value that which is free. If it's great and it's free, we question it. We're like, okay, that's free. What's wrong with that? We value the things that we make investments and we pay for. And so if you value your health, invest in yourself.
I agree. I've been there and I continue to be there. I completely agree. So if someone wanted to connect with you, Simone, and get some embodiment work done, how would they do that?
So I am on social media, even though right now I've kind of taken a little hiatus because it gets a little crazy. So, you know, you got to do that at times. But I am on there many times, mostly on Instagram. I am under Wildly Nourished Woman on Instagram. You can also find me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, although I have to start posting to it. So I'm actually in the works of posting to my Facebook page more frequently now. But you can find me on Facebook under Simone Turner, at Wildly Nourished Woman. My email address, support@SimoneTurner.com. And I welcome you to take a visit to my website, which is going to be released shortly, SimoneTurner.com. Right now we are in the process of a redesign, but you can still enter your information so that you can be notified when the website goes live. But those are the ways that people can reach me. And just, you know what? Good old fashioned, pick up the phone. I'm the type of person that I don't mind getting on the phone, talking to people, seeing how I can support them and helping them to get clear about what their next steps are. So you can call me, 646-543-1375, except for Fridays and weekends, because I don't answer business calls during those times. Not unless it's like a speaking event or something, but Monday through Thursday, you can definitely give me a call during my business hours of 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. At that number, you can also set up a time to speak with me. I have an online calendar. So if you just email me, I can send you a link to my calendar and we can set up a time to talk. But yeah, those are the ways that people can reach me.
That's great. That's wonderful. So ladies, if y'all want to get that embodiment work so you can make that shift and start feeling more relaxed and not so tense and irritated and angry and upset about so many things as they come your way, where you just want to just move a little easier and smoother through your life, you need to connect with Simone, okay? And the ways that you can connect with me, there right now, there are two ways that I'm working with clients. I have clarity sessions set up where you can set up a clarity session. And within that clarity session, we will do some things, basically a menstrual cycle analysis. You will get that. And you would also get a health history consultation with me. So we'll have an hour together where we go through all of that. And then if you want to work with me further than that, then I have access where you can do one-on-one coaching with me. And it's a 6-month setup. You can either do one-on-one virtually on Zoom or over the phone with me, or you can do a VIP day where you travel here to me in Central Texas and I will set it all up for you. You just have to make your travel arrangements. I take care of everything else. I take care of setting up where you stay, picking you up at the airport, dropping you off, feeding you, all of that. And you spend a whole Saturday with me and you get some extra bonuses for being live with me, and you'll get to see what those are when you actually sign up for one of those. So it's exciting and it's nice. I have a lot of highly specialized hands-on services that I provide that I can only do when you come to me for a VIP day. So I look forward to those of you who do sign up for those sessions. And I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you, Simone, for being here today and accepting my invitation to help with this process of helping women to have an easy menstrual flow and helping women to look at their menstrual cycle differently than how they've been looking at it so they can start moving their lives in a whole completely different direction.
Thank you. I feel so much gratitude being here today. And just thank you for allowing me to walk this journey with you and to help your listeners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. And until next time, my beautiful butterflies, have a wonderful day.